Is this Sean?
This is Sean.
So you showed up. How are you doing, Sean? Dave Colifrat.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
So okay. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. It's my pleasure. Yeah. You want me to just give you the history?
Yes, please.
Yeah, great.
I used to do this when I was in sales. As far as I'm retired from here, but I used to, when I take my brides and grooms and parents through, I'd just give them a history of the castle as we walk through it.
Yeah, we can do that.
The apology comes due to the fact that on Sunday we have about 200 people coming for they are our brides and grooms and parents from 2014 weddings.
Okay.
And we do a tasting for them. So what we do is we set up buffets and all over the place of all different appetizers, entrees, hors d'oeuvres, desserts, you know, and they can walk around. And then upstairs we put our vendors, our core vendors, like photographers, the ones that we recommend, you know, entertainment, flowers, cakes, etc. So they can go up and sample their wares as well. So
everything
is being set up for that. That's why I've got a bunch of my waiters. These guys are all waiters for me, but they become furniture movers, right, Rob?
Yes.
I see. You go from waiter to furniture mover. Rob's been with us for almost 14 years now.
No.
No, you came at the beginning, didn't
10.
You?
10.
You weren't here right at the beginning?
No.
Yeah.
This will be my 11th year, yeah.
Anyway, very little turnover. People love us. But anyway, so the castle, and again, just excuse the disarray, okay? I mean, all the leather furniture is taken out of the living room.
Oh, no, I'll use my imagination. I think it'll do fine.
All right, the castle was built by Edward Searles. Edward Searles was an eccentric... he started out as a very poor. He had to quit school when he was like 10 years old or so. His father had passed away. He had to support his mother, and he had a younger brother. And they lived down in Methuen, which is where the main castle was, where he lived in Methuen. I don't know if you're familiar with that history or not. But anyway, so he lived down there.
Did he build that one first?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. This was meant to be a getaway for him, like a hunting lodge almost, okay? It took 10 years to build it. And yet when it was finished, he lived another 5 years. It finished in 1915, and then he died in 1920. But he only slept here 5 times.
Wow.
But it was about 10...
Like King Ludwig.
Well, it was...
Same thing. Drained all the money out of Bavaria to build his big ornate castle, Neuschwanstein. I think he spent approximately 100 days there before he died.
Yeah. But he just, the thing is, you have to remember, this is back in the days when the roads between Methuen and here were not all that good, and it was quite a trip to come from there to here. So, it was one of those things where it just didn't happen, you know. I think he built about 40 buildings. Colby College has some, down in Methuen, the largest organ hall. I think it's still the largest pipe organ in the world is there, and he built a building around it. He bought the organ and then built a building around it. They still do concerts down there.
Was he primarily an architect or a designer?
He was an interior decorator. Yeah, most people, if you study the history, you'll find that most people think he was of an alternative persuasion. Okay. And this was a place where, back in those days, being an alternative kind of guy, you couldn't let anybody know about that. You'd be ostracized completely. And so this was a place where he could kind of be himself, let his hair down, you know. That's the thought as to why this was built. But anyway, he was, if I go back real quickly, he was very poor, but very talented, a great musician, taught piano. Lived up in Bath, Maine for a while, teaching piano up there. Then got into interior decorating. And then they're still around. Actually, in New York City, there's a company called Herder Brothers. They were interior decorators, nationally known. And he got a position with them. They sent him out to California to work on, I have to apologize. I got a little bit of chemo brain. I've been through chemotherapy just recently. It affects my long-term and short-term memory. But anyway,
when did you have it?
I have it every other week. I've stage 4 pancreatic cancer, so I'm on the way out. You know, just they're trying to delay it. Let's put it that way. But anyway, came to me. He went out West, and Mark Hopkins, who was the majority stockholder of the Southern Pacific Railroad, had a beautiful home, castle-type home out there on Nob Hill in San Francisco, and they sent Searles out to help redecorate it. Mm-hmm. All right. And Mark Hopkins passed away. He and the widow became really good friends, really, really good friends, and she asked him to marry. She was about 70, he was about 40, and his being of that alternative persuasion, they were great friends, and so they married. They did a lot of traveling over to Europe, where they accumulated a lot of antiques and architectural things that could be used in decorating, and they just bring them all back here, you know. And he would store them, and then if he was building a building, oh, those would go well. I know where I have that, and he'd go to the warehouse and find something and put it in there.
Did he build buildings so that he could decorate their interior?
I think he enjoyed the process more than the finished product. You know, I really do. This as we walk through here, I'll show you some of the things that. Again, he spent 10 years doing this. He actually built homes for the workers. He hired the best Italian stonemasons and brought them over from Italy and built houses for them, and you know, down in Methuen, because that's where this was originally going to be on. This was going to be originally on a little pond called World's End Pond off of Pond Street in Methuen, and they were going to build a causeway, and then build an island just with fill, and then build it on there, and then the pond would surround it like a moat. Nice. You know, and he had great ideas. In fact, they had to build all kinds of walls down there, and manor. There's a manor there, and you know, it's all kinds of sort of stuff down there. You could tell that he was in there for the long run. You know, well, as it would have it, they couldn't even build the causeway. As they kept filling it, it kept sinking. It just, every time they put fill in, it would sink and sink and sink and sink, and they just got to the point where they gave up. He says, it's not going to work. He says, we can't even get the causeway. How are we going to build the island, you know? So they gave up, and he bought this property, and he had about 250 acres up here. That's what so he started this operation. So anyway, this, as I said, was like supposed to be like a hunting lodge, a getaway for him. But so that's why it was built. But it's full of things that they brought back from Europe. For example, these doors are actually from Windsor Castle. They were he found out that they were redoing the servants' entrance, one of the servants' entranceways, these doors were going to be replaced with something more modern, and he purchased these doors. And if you can see, I mean, they're quite intricate. And if you look at the other side of the door, you can tell that they were outside doors. You know?
Oh yeah.
There, but this,
well, where were these been in Windsor Castle?
Like a servant's entrance from the outside, like a delivery entrance, okay, to the kitchen. You know?
So sort of like this door here, but maybe little less or, to the
yeah,
side.
Yeah, but I mean, everything was obviously pretty ornate over there because, I mean, this is, you know, where the guy delivers the meat. Right. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. Everything
how old are these doors?
Well, I have no
okay,
idea.
I didn't know if there was some history
no,
to them.
No, just that they were from Windsor Castle. That's as much as I can tell you. The other thing, though, is that these doors are quarter sawn oak. And because the doors were quarter sawn oak, he decided that everything in the castle was going to be quarter sawn oak. So all the wood that you look at, when you say what is quarter sawn oak, if you look at see the striped grain here, if you look at it in certain ways, you can see the, I'm trying to see if there's someplace, oh, over here it shows up much more. See the stripes in the grain?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's quarter sawn oak. What it means is you only use the very inside of the tree. You know what I mean? Where it gets to the point where the grain is really pronounced. But everything is quarter sawn oak. And you know, all the decorations and what have you with ceilings. If you look over here, it says Anno 1915 on the exit over here. And that's 1915 is the date when the castle was finished.
So did he buy these doors prior to
building? Oh, yeah. Yeah, he had the doors long before he even thought about doing this place.
Okay, so
he
just had them sitting there.
Yeah, I'm going to show you a castle. I'm going to show you a fireplace that actually came from Napoleon's castle. And he had that long before. That has a story to it, too. But some of the antiques, this is original. This bishop's bench, we have no idea what that's worth and how old it is, but that's all hand-carved. And he brought that from Europe. There are a few pieces left over. The Sisters of Mercy, when they took over the castle in the 50s, it had been abandoned for 10 years. And but there still were vandals in and out, broken windows, you know how it goes. But there were still pieces of furniture in here that were very valuable. And what they did is they sold off the furniture at an auction in order to get the money that they needed to fix the roof and what have you, because everything was leaking, the walls needed repair, you know, to be... what have you. So they, but there are a few pieces that remain, and that's one of them. Mm. But if we go in here, this is the main foyer.
Hi, baby.
But this fireplace, the castle is a one-quarter replica of the Stanton Harcourt Castle, which was a real castle. Searles found out that he had some relatives that lived in England, and distant relatives. He was really into that kind of thing, giving him some, you know, prestige, himself some prestige. And anyway, so he went over to see the Stanton Harcourt Castle, took pictures and whatever, or drawings or whatever. He brought an architect with him. Anyway, so when they came back, this was going to be a one-quarter replica. But they found out that the Stanton Harcourt Castle, the Stantons and the Harcourts, had a feud, and they actually had a little battle, and they burned the castle down in this battle. Hence, you see the design over the... if this one. If you'll notice the flames coming out of the top, that's to commemorate the fact that the original Stanton Harcourt Castle burned down.
So when he went over there to visit, it was still there? But then
just the remains.
Oh, okay.
Just the remains. Uh-huh. But they had... they could tell what it looked like with the architect, you know,
right,
from the what was left. And again, if you notice the years, there's an AD in 1912. Okay. Now I can't remember why the 1912 was there. But this, anyway, this fireplace was in Napoleon's castle at Tuileries, you know, the Tuileries Gardens, if you're familiar with that part. Anyway,
So he would have warmed himself by this fire.
Your guess is as good as mine. But the point is, though, that this was that castle also was burned down during the French Revolution. Okay, and Searles got the permission to go in and see if he could scavenge anything out of there, what was left. Now he found this fireplace, and as you can see, it was broken, you know, and in pieces. But he asked if he could take it, and he did take it, and he brought it over here to the States. Unfortunately, he was going to bring it to the Great Barrington. He has a castle in Great Barrington, Mass, and the easiest way to get there would be to go up the Hudson River and then go overland, okay, with something like this. So on the way up the Hudson River, the barge hit something and sank. So this wound up at the bottom of the Hudson River. In the meantime, the French government gets in touch with Searles' representatives and says that they are suing Searles because they didn't realize he was going to take artifacts like this out of the country, and they wanted it back. And Searles said, well, it's at the bottom of the Hudson River. Good luck. Okay. So it sat there for about 3 or 4 years. But they didn't have any technology to go get it. Right? But anyway, the bottom line was after things settled down and nobody worried about it any longer, he sent out a barge with a big, like, grappling hook on it, almost like an ice, you know, you pick up a block of ice with one of those.
Yeah.
And they kind of knew where it was, and they found it, and they brought it back up. And when they brought it up, you can see where they, like, for example, this is granite. You can almost see where they grabbed it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, see the damage on this corner and that corner. But they brought it up. And this was all gold leaf, you know, and of course all the gold washed off, being in the murky, briny water. There's still some of it on there, what have you, but the legends are still clear and what have you. And Searles thought that the authenticity of the whole thing and the way it looked now would be the way he wanted it to be, so he never bothered to have it, you know, regilded or anything. If you could see, there's a back plate in here. I used to have a flashlight. I had trouble thinking of the word dog the other day. I asked my wife, "Did you let the furry thing with the legs?" but if you could see, they all have these back plates on them, these really thick plates, and the idea is, and there's a name for them which I can't come up with, but what would happen is if you had a fire in there, those would heat up. I mean, they'd get really, really hot, big, thick steel, cast iron, rather, plates. And once the fire went out, they'd still radiate heat for a long time. But it's dated 1660. That's the original plate from when it was over in Europe, you know. So it has quite a story. Yeah.
That's lovely.
Yeah. But if we go in this room... We were wasting oil today. $40,000 in oil last year.
Really?
Just to heat this place. This is Italian marble. You know, just the legend of Cross the Top with the burning fireplace. The Stanton Hardcourt Shield is this one over here. You'll notice there's a blank side and a full side to it. The idea is that the Stantons, that commemorates the feud between the Stantons and the Hardcourts, and the blank side kind of shows you that, you know, the Stantons evicted the Hardcourts and at the end of everything. But all of that is all quarter sawn oak, okay? And what it is they carve out the little pieces and apply it to it. It's not carved. It is carved. The pieces are carved, but they're applied. They put up a flat
like
piece. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like a veneer.
Yeah. But all of that was originally the same quarter sawn oak, and somebody painted it, which is kind of sad in a way. But again, all the woodwork that you see in here is all quarter sawn oak.
Can you get a picture of Dave and I in front of the fireplace? Me and Drew, I'll get a picture. I can remember my phone is.
The one that's copying mine.
Sean was asking what's the likelihood of two castle guys running into each other in a bar?
You know how did he tell you the story how this happened?
Well, maybe, yeah, you tell.
Well, it's just that we sold a house and a vacation home we had in Lincoln. And we wanted something with a better view and a little bigger because I have more grandchildren as time goes by. I have 7 grandchildren now. But anyway, so we wound up looking at this Waterville Estates. And they had these houses that were way up on top of the mountain, you know. And the house is at 2,200 feet. The views are incredible. You know? So we wound up buying this house. We met Lance when it was in the end of November, was it? Was it towards the end of November, Lance?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. And we closed on the house on December 10th. So we hadn't yet taken the house. And we were at the Common Man in Lincoln, which is where our old house was. And anyway, so he came up to get something for the kids. And at the bar, we were going to get them a hot chocolate or something. And because they were sitting by the fireplace. And there was hardly anybody there. It was like late afternoon.
Yeah, just opened.
Yeah. So anyway, so he came up, and, you know, being gregarious people that we both are, we talked to each other as he was standing there waiting for his hot chocolates. And I told him that we had just purchased a place in Waterville Estates. He said, "Oh, that's where I live." He says, "But I'm not really lived. I'm going to live in there till I finish my castle, which I'm building." I said, "I've heard about you because a friend of mine has a log house in Woodwinds, you know, which is right next to where he's building his castle." I said, we went looking for your castle, and I said, I couldn't find it. I said, he's, "Oh, yeah, it's pretty tough to find, blah, blah, blah." I said, "So what kind of a castle are you building?" He said, "Well, I'm kind of copying this place down in Wyndham. You know, it's Searle's castle," and my wife is sitting next to me, and she goes, "That's our castle."
You know, like that. And I'm like, what do you mean
that's
your
castle?
Of
that, yeah. And we just kind of explained that we've leased this place for the last 14 years now. And anyway, so that's how we met. And it was just kind of what's the chance of that?
Yeah, that the planets aligned and we ended up in the same bar at the same time.
Yeah, but he told me he'd been down here and taken pictures and what have you, but he'd never been inside or anything. I said, "Well, come, give me a call someday."
He talked about Searle's when I first talked to him.
Yeah.
And, sounded like he snuck around here a lot.
It does.
I drove around, but I never dared to walk.
Well, I just told him, I said, "Anytime you want to come down, just call me." I said, because I live 5 minutes from here. So I said, "Well, I'll drive over and I'll give you a tour, you know, show you what it looks like inside." So
How did you first sort of, go from not living in a castle, living in
a castle? I was a high school principal for 10 years. And I resigned. I resigned from education because, quite frankly, I wasn't making enough money. I had 3 daughters that I was going to have to put through college. And a friend of mine was in the hospitality business, and he and I together built a restaurant and banquet facility nearby, without mentioning it. I sold that in 2001, but in while I had the other place, though, I used to do a lot of charity work. I do a ton of charity work still, but I did a lot of charity work for the Sisters of Mercy who own the property. And when the sisters heard that that I had sold my interest in this other facility, they asked if I would have any interest in or any ideas as to what we might be able to do at this place. And we had actually had my oldest daughter's wedding here. I can't even remember what year it was. But anyway, it was in the 1990s. And Sister Josette, who is our liaison with the Sisters of Mercy, who really brought this place back to what it is over the years, she was very reluctant to let us do it, but she said because it was me and she trusted us, my wife and I, she let us have our daughter's wedding here. And it really went well. I mean, but we weren't even allowed to come in the castle. We just used the outside area. Mm-hmm. And that cobblestone and brick and everything was not there. It was like a paved driveway in sad repair with a mounded grass in the middle with a fountain. We had to really kind of work around everything to make it work. But it was gorgeous and beautiful, and it worked out well, and nobody got in any trouble. And she was kind of like thinking afterwards, gee, that worked, you know? So bottom line anyway is that I said to her, if you give me, I said, take it to the council. I said, if you'll lease me the castle and let me do what I think needs to be done, I said, I'll take care of financing it and make the changes that need to be changed and give me a long-term lease so I can get my money back. You know. So anyway, they talked about it and they agreed to it. So first thing we did is excavate the whole courtyard. That's all cobblestone and brick now. We did some stuff with the inside, just minor stuff inside really though. And we put a kitchen in, you know. And that's really fundamentally, we had to upgrade the electricity and what have you. Built a little building over there with restrooms in it, you know. So, you know, things that you had to do. But that was back in 2001.
And do you actually live in?
No.
So you live elsewhere in this sort of just...
Nobody lives here. Right. Nobody lives here. We use the upstairs for the brides to get changed before the wedding and what have you. I'll show you that stuff. We go upstairs. But I live like 5 minutes from here.
So did you ever think about living here?
No, I wouldn't want to. It's not set up for that. You know what I mean? You're building it's going to be a house that
exactly.
looks like a castle.
So we're thinking a lot about how we're actually going to use it. There's a great book called A Not-So-Big House. Should do one, A Not-So-Big Castle. Yeah. But it talks a lot about having smaller rooms, cozier, warm, inviting spaces, and designing around how you really use a house versus big grandiose rooms like the classic leftover from the 1800s is the concept of the formal dining room that nobody uses anymore.
Yeah.
And so
we couldn't go in a living room in our house when I was a kid. Couldn't go in. it still had plastic on the sofas. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, so we struggle in the design of our castle in a couple of ways. It's you want to have it to be functional, but it still needs to look like a castle. So modern building, you want big windows, lots of light, but to stay true to the design, you want to have smaller windows for the castle.
So the
competing design philosophies, and it's a little bit difficult to find a balance between the two.
Yeah. The other thing is heat. Last year's oil bill here was about $40,000.
So,
of course, look at the windows. They're
We have the luxury of designing for heat efficiency right from day one. Instead of trying to retrofit it 100 years later.
These outside walls are like over 2 feet wide. So, I mean, as far as insulating, heat and cooling, that works really well.
That stone's going to radiate a lot of heat out of the building.
Yeah.
So most of these rooms are almost sort of just for people to talk and enjoy their couch.
I wish you would come when it was set up the way it should be. But there's a big dining room table. I think it's over in the corner right now that we expand, and that's for a wedding. That's in the middle here with stationary hors d'oeuvres. What we do is we do the cocktail hour in the courtyard and in the castle And then when it's time for the bride to be introduced, we open up our tent. We have a 4,000-foot Euro tent. I don't know if you've been on my website, but if you go on the website, you can see what it looks like. But then we move outside for that. And then, to be honest with you, we close everything in here beyond the Windsor Castle doors. We let people use that bathroom if they want to use it. The bride can come in if she needs to go upstairs to freshen her makeup or something like that. But the guests we keep out of here because we're afraid of people having a few drinks might not be as respectful as they should be to the building, okay? So we kind of close those doors, and they use the restrooms in the gray building, and they can come into the foyer, though. Hmm. So we kind of, like, move out of here after the cocktail hour. But it's they have stationary hors d'oeuvres in here, stationary hors d'oeuvres in the living room, and then we have a lot of waitstaff passing hors d'oeuvres. We have tons of passed hors d'oeuvres, and they pass them in here, out in the courtyard. We have little cocktail tables set up in the courtyard with the French. Well, anyway, we have them set up. So, yeah, we have heaters out there too. You
know. And how many people or couples are coming tomorrow?
I think we have over 150, but we break it into like two seatings.
Right.
People come in because they just walk around and try things and talk to the vendors. So they'll they'll come in and say the first one is at 12 o'clock and it goes from 12 to 2, and then we have another one that goes from 3 to 5. So it gives us an hour in between to kind of refresh everything before the second wave, you know.
Right.
So
and is that the whole scheduled out wedding scene for the next year?
That's everybody who has booked to this point for 2014. In the wedding business, people book way ahead. Right. You know, people don't plan a wedding 6 months in advance. Not often, right. You know. In fact, if we have open dates 6 months out, we start discounting, you know, to see if, just to sell the dates, you know. But like all of our Saturdays are gone for 2014, you know, most of our Fridays and Sundays. So we're still looking to, for a few Fridays and Sundays, we book out every year. You know, it's kind of a niche market.
Yeah, and who doesn't want to get married in a castle?
Yeah. You know, it's and if you think about it, a lot of business comes from the greater Boston area. We're only 35 minutes from Boston. You know, I mean, the highway's right here, and it's fewer than 30 miles from here to the city. So.
How is the interest?
Yeah, I'm actually shocked that people. I talk to people in New Hampshire who've never heard of this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how can you not know about Cyril's Castle? But you know, of course, I'm a little biased and a castle nut. So,
yeah. Well, you know, to be honest with you, we stopped doing a lot of advertising about 5 years ago because we don't need to. Mm. You know, it's people have heard about us and through word of mouth and what have you. And you know, if you book out, you book out. You know. The only thing you could try to do is book more weekday weddings, which they're difficult to sell. But we do a lot of Thursdays. We actually do a lot of Thursday weddings because people will give people a big discount for a Thursday versus a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. And so now they can get married the place they really would love to get married, and it now has become affordable. You know, and when you think about it, a Thursday sounds odd to you, but a lot of people travel for weddings and what have you. And if you're going to travel anyway, you know, so you got to take a couple of days off. So you get here Thursday morning, or your plane lands Thursday morning. You stay Thursday night and Friday, and then you got the weekend. So,
when you first leased it, was that your plan? Like we're going to host weddings. And that's
absolutely, that's the only thing I had in mind. Yeah,
right.
And what we do other things other than weddings. Tuesday we had an all-day business meeting here, but anniversaries, excuse me, birthday parties, what have you. But I'd say over 90% of our business is weddings.
Do people ever want to stay here? I mean, do they ever?
They've talked about it, and they say no.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I, you know, that'd be like running a bed and breakfast, Sean.
Right.
You know, do you want to be here 24/7?
No.
I don't either. So.
Well, Lance might.
I would.
Lance would run this as bed and breakfast.
Yeah. The funny thing is, we have a room that would make a gorgeous bridal suite too, and it's set up as a sitting room right now. It's on the third floor. It's only building the only room up there, and it has its own bathroom and everything. It would be gorgeous, you know.
Yeah, when we were sitting at the bar talking, and I don't think I'd yet made the connection that you had Cyril's Castle. I was showing you the pictures of my project and the terrace. And I think your wife said, you know, this would be a great place to have weddings. You ever thought of that? And I said, well, you know, as a matter of fact, that's part of the reason why I made the Grand Terrace so big, was to be able to hold a full wedding party out there. You know, that someday we'll probably do weddings at the castle.
Uh-huh. So you're going to be competition now? You're going to copy my castle and be competition? Do I get a cut of this?
We should get this guy out of here.
But we should. You have that on tape?
I do have that.
Okay.
And I thought about that, too. Do I really want people in my house? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's
I don't really
tough.
Like that. People always ask me, so are you going to rent it out? Is that why you're building? I'm like, no, not really. I don't. I can see doing a wedding from time to time, but I don't really want to do it as a business.
Just do ceremonies. Just do the ceremony out on the Grand Terrace. Then, maybe serve some champagne afterwards, pass a few hors d'oeuvres, and then before they get drunk, get them out of there. This is our music room.
Do you play piano at all?
I don't. No, but we have, we tell people if they can bring their own musician. We have a plethora of connections. This is the indoor bar, the inside bar for during the cocktail hour. We have two bars set up, one here and one in the courtyard.
This is so nice to see this room from the inside.
Yeah.
This part of my design of having the round turret out of out on the cliff face came from this room.
Oh, yeah.
Because we have 180 degree views. We have a view all the way up to Franconia Notch to the left, and into Sandwich Mountains on the south side. So it almost dictates that we have to have a round room to be able to fully take advantage of that view.
In my new house, I don't have a stone porch. We call this the stone porch. We don't have a stone porch. But I have a deck, and my deck goes all the way. I can see Franconia. I can see Lafayette.
I found your house online.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I went into Google Maps and I found exactly where you're at up there. And then with Google Earth, you can actually rotate it and look at it. So you can position yourself at your house. So I was checking out what your view is. And you have you can actually see my property from yours.
Really?
But you won't be able to see the actual castle site because it's tucked around the other side of the mountain.
I told you we went looking for it. Before I met you, we went looking for it because a friend of mine has a house up there on your hill, I think. But anyway, we went, my wife and I drove around looking for it, and we couldn't find it. So it's obviously...
Well, sometime when you're up there, we're going to have to...
That's the view from my house.
Go up. So let me see.
I think I've been up there.
Really?
Yeah, I think. Is there like six or seven houses
right
in the face?
So
yeah, I went up there.
Right over here. Oops, I'm going to go back one. So if you look right over here, there's a mountain right here. Big hill. We own the top of that.
Uh huh. Because that's Welsh Dickey.
Yeah. So we are right across. What's great about our view is Welsh and Dickey, we're about as close as you can get to it. It's right in your face. It's right there. So you look down into the valley, but you look up at the top of Welsh and Dickey. So it's a really interesting view.
Yeah.
It's not like we have mountains off in the distance. They're right there. And I think that's part of what makes that view really interesting.
That's actually how I saw your castle for the first time. I hiked up Welsh and Dickey, and I looked across the way. I saw this sort of little white smile. I was like, what is that?
Yeah.
Is that how you... And then you started asking about it?
That's how I first saw it. I didn't know what it was. I thought it was some strange anomaly or something like that. And then I heard that you were building something up that cliff. You were building a castle up there. So that was... But my first introduction was, this artifact.
How did you track me down?
It was a coincidence. It was a friend of ours.
A lot of coincidences in your life.
Kelly Weiser.
So I've been working on this for 14 years, and I just blab about it to everyone I meet. So people up there, when I talk to people, they're like, oh, you're the castle guy.
Well, we knew you existed before I met you.
Yeah.
Because we actually drove around looking for it because, of course, I have a vested interest in castles.
I got to tell you a funny story. One time, after you did the article in New Hampshire Magazine, I had hired an intern from Plymouth State, and his girlfriend was working at the Black Bear Lodge up in Waterville Valley. And she said that somebody came in and checked. When they were checking in, they said,
do you know where Keene Castle is? We'd like to see it.
Yeah. Oh, sure. You must get people wanting to come up there.
Yeah, every now and then someone will say, hey, can I see it? I'm like, sure, I'll take you up.
I think it's so humble of you to have not, like, taken advantage and named it after yourself like that.
Well,
this is a
well, Searles did the same thing, didn't
yeah.
he?
Oh, so now you're Edward Searles. I'm just pulling you. Sorry.
This, I strive this, to be as creative as he was. That's my goal. Well, I just don't have the same budget he had.
Well, you probably have a lot in common.
I always say I married Tanya for her money.
But this is this is all open during the wedding, so people. This is really a nice place for people to hang out and views and what have you. These are all really nice flower gardens. We have our property manager, Johnny, we have a full-time property manager, and he's really into landscaping and gardening. If you look on the website again, you'll see how many flowers we have all over the place. But this is really a nice place to go. Plus, it's a good place for people that want to go have smokes. You know.
Yeah, I can totally
well, this
see it.
This whole walk there's a walkway. It's amazing the engineering because the rain we have copper gutters, and the rain comes down the gutters. I don't know if you can see that. Probably not far enough into the corner. But anyway, it collects in a copper gutter, and then it goes across and it goes under the sidewalk. And if you were out on the wall, you'd see where it spits out the wall.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But this walkway. It's a broad sidewalk, and it goes all the way. Well, it goes this way, but then it goes this way. It goes back to the courtyard, so people can kind of like hike around the castle and mm-hmm. see it from different angles.
You know what? I just realized in my design, I think this is approximately the same dimensions as the round turret that I designed. I think I came up with about 26 feet, and that's what this looks like, about the same dimensions. Coincidentally.
is this giving you ideas?
Like, yeah. Just every time I get into a castle, I look and I study and I just, my mind races. Like, oh, I could do, oh, I need to do that. I got to do that. Oh, look at that. That is so cool. I got to do that.
This would have been a reading room, a living room. There's so many different names. Parlor. What have you?
They all seem like variations on the parlor.
Yeah. Well, they weren't.
Right.
But we've done that
right.
because of our purpose, you know. But that's the reflector plate I was talking about. And the other, that one you can see much more clearly. This kind of unique, this is a sandstone fireplace, which, you know, is really soft. And yet they managed to make a fireplace out of it for the color, you know. If you notice, the walls are covered in cloth, and this is period authentic, even though this is not the same thing. What they would do is they would put a veneer piece the size of whatever size it needed. Notice they're all rectangles or squares. Then they would cover it with a felt, and then cover it with cloth. And then just stick it up on the wall. Mm. And the idea was that, because wallpaper wasn't invented until like 1922 or something like that, so that if you wanted to have color on your wall, you either painted it or you did something like this. Yeah. And so when the castle was redecorated back in the early 90s, they wanted, wherever possible, to be authentic. And so this has been here since like the mid-90s. It's the funny thing is, it's not one big piece of cloth. If you look carefully, you can see where the seams are. There's a seam right here. I thought they did a good job, though.
It looks like a piece, one
yeah.
single piece.
Yeah. Okay, we can head upstairs.
Do you mind if afterwards I go through and take a few pictures?
No,
just didn't want to do it while we were doing this.
Yeah. I've got about a half hour left.
That's fine.
I have a commitment with one of my granddaughters. So.
And will the house up in the Waterville Estates, is it sort of just a getaway type of thing?
For us?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, well, I was an avid skier. I still want to ski. I'm going to Utah Friday. What's today?
Friday.
Next Friday. I'm going to Utah.
You're going today.
I'm going with five of my friends. We go every year, you know, and I don't know if we're going to be able to ski, but at least I'll have the camaraderie, you know, that kind of thing. But so the house we had in Lincoln is because Loon was my favorite place to ski. And then we just needed someplace bigger because we had more grandchildren. And I just really wanted a place with a better view. The place had everything we needed except for those two things. And so that's why we bought the...
It is a spectacular
view. Yeah. We have a... My wife and I have a 12-year-old grandson who has autism. And we've had him since he was 3 years old. His mother passed away a year and a half ago. And we just officially adopted him 3 weeks ago. We've had full custody since he was three. He's 12 now. But then, so what we do is we need a getaway from that. It's kind of intense. So every other week, we go up north for 3 days or so. Just the two of us, you know. And then we'll, other times, you know, we'll bring him up and, you know, our grandchildren and our daughters come up, you know, and have you. But it's kind of a, most importantly for us, it's a place for us to go where we can just go, you know, because it's...
That's what that place is up there.
Yeah.
We just drove around one day because we would like to, we just drive around sometimes. And we wanted to get up as high as we could go.
Yeah.
And we ended up there. It's so grand.
Yeah.
So
the only thing that bothered me was, and I almost didn't buy it for the fact that it's there are like six or seven houses like right there,
yeah.
You know, and but ours is the furthest out,
right.
You know what I mean? So that once you get inside the house, it's bigger than it looks, by the way. It's like four bedrooms and a loft and everything else. But and the wall, the part that looks out towards the view is all windows, you know, so it's like a wall of windows. It's just really gorgeous inside. And if you go out on the deck, if you look over this way, you can just see the edge of this guy's deck and you can just see the edge of this guy's deck.
All right.
So I have this idea of these big planters, you know, the like maybe 3 feet in diameter or so, get two or three of those with some kind of evergreen or something,
right.
And put those on the edges of the deck. So no.
Right. No, it is just kind of clear cutty up there.
Yeah, but like, well, that's
all opened up.
Yeah.
We have fond memories of that place because when we had Lucette, Tanya's in labor, and it was in the middle of February, and we had to get the process going, so we had to go for a walk. And so we drove up to the top of the mountain, looked at the stars, and walked around a little bit to try and induce labor to get things moving along. And a couple hours later, we ended up going to the hospital.
All right.
So every time we're up there, we think about that.
Time for another baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're working on it.
Oh.
This will be the last one.
This reflector plate is my favorite one in the castle. See the lion's head? I mean, you think about... I mean, it probably was a sand mold. That's my guess as to how they did that. But, you know, considering the intricacies of the face of the lion there and everything.
Is that, again, from, you know, the 1600s? Or is that a more recent...
You know what? Honestly, I don't know where that one came from.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know.
It would be just shocking. I don't know why, but if somebody did that in 1617, it
yeah.
just would
so,
seem...
Well, if you look...
Heating, was this the form of
heating? Yeah, yeah.
I imagine they probably...
Well, they had radiators, too. They had radiators. I know they had some radiators.
Maybe not in the fire rooms.
Yeah.
I imagine they didn't use as much in the winter.
No. Oh, they didn't. They hardly used it at all. Yeah. They had people that lived on the property, but there was a... Down by where my parking lot is, there was a caretaker's cottage. And the people that maintained the place, because, you know, he could come up on a whim. So they had to be ready.
Right.
Okay. So they lived in that cottage, but they made sure the place was ready for him should he want to come up. But I don't think he ever would come up in the winter. The trek would be too much.
Was there any record of what he actually did when he was here?
No.
Was it 5 days in a row, or was it once every
no,
year
no,
for 5 years?
He came up five times.
Right.
That's what we know. I don't know that... How many times he stayed, how long he stayed here when he did come up. We assume it was overnight, you know. But, and, by the way, that wing that you talked about, Lance, that, you know, that's connected, to get into that wing, you had to go out through the front door and go in the door over there and come in. Otherwise, you walk through the
cave. Before you got here, Sean, I asked him.
Oh, yeah.
I had a theory about this castle that when I looked at it, the design of the whole thing didn't quite mesh. And I said, I bet it was built in at least two different stages, and he confirmed what I said.
The middle, there's a section that connects this to the older part that's diagonally across the courtyard. These were built at the same time, but that was kind of separate, just connected by a carriage house kind of thing. It was a single-story open front where you could put carriages in there or what have you, like a garage. But to get from here, if say, for example, there was a dinner party here and you were staying overnight, there are only three bedrooms in this part of the castle. Okay, this is the master bedroom, and I'll show you what goes with this, the master suite. But and there's a bedroom upstairs. But if there were any other people staying, they'd have to go across the courtyard and sleep separately far away. So that it's almost like it reinforces that idea of, like he's up here, but he wants to do his own thing, but he has to be discreet. So if somebody's sleeping over in that building,
And that square building, it struck me as odd that it didn't have a crenellated parapet on the top.
And that's because it did have a crenellated top. But when the sisters took over the castle, it was in such sad repair, it was dangerous, that, it was crumbling, the mortar was gone, what have you. And they just didn't have the money to redo that. So it was actually less expensive to just take the crenellated top down and put a flat rubber roof on it, which is what they wound up doing.
Are those crenellations purely decorative, or do they serve?
Yeah. No, it's just to look like a castle. No.
Like to put your bow and arrow.
The funny thing about it, though, is Searles, when he was up here, brought security. And there's actually, like, for example, where the main gate is where you just came in, there's that tower next to it. I had a little wood stove when I I use it for storage, and I don't think anybody had been in there for a long, long time. There was about a foot of bird droppings, okay, because there was one little round window that had been broken, and the birds used that as their entrance. It was just a giant birdhouse, but there was a little rusted out wood stove and what have you. And if you go up high, you could see there was an entrance, there was an exit from a little door where you could walk out. And the gate that goes like this used to go up and down like this on a pulley system, okay, to let you in and out of the castle. And that's, and if you're looking at the gate, that system is still in that round, but it's, of course, non-functional. And the gate at one time let go and fell, and that's when the sisters decided maybe this is not a good idea. We should have to get rid of this gate and have something that goes like this. And so they got rid of that. That gate is still, it's laying down. There's a spot, let's just to say we still have it, okay? But it kind of rusted out at this point. But he would actually have people, and the same thing with the gate that you came through. Just as you came around this part of the castle, there's a gate over there that you come through. And the archway that you go under, it has a walkway on it. And he would actually have men with guns up there,
What was he afraid of?
Just robbery, highwaymen, that kind of thing. Because remember, this is, Wyndham probably had a population of three, maybe. I don't know. I'm exaggerating. But there was hardly anybody living up here. This was really outside the parameters of social liability.
were there any robberies?
No. Not that I know of. Right. Not that I can't. Again, I don't know everything, but not that I've ever heard of. It was just a security issue.
Did people know about this at the time, or did he?
People around here knew about it. No, people around here knew about it. Yeah. In fact, there was a school.
I heard a story about the walls that you see that go all around Wyndham. That all used to be part of this.
Yes.
His property. Now, I think I heard a story that he had built those walls as a way to help the town, help put people to work.
Yeah, there was a recession of some sort, back when the place was being built, and he put extra people to work. The same thing in Methuen. If you go down to Methuen, you'll see tons of walls. Methuen is a kind of unique town because, if I can think of it, Searles, Tenney, and Nevins were three multimillionaires. Which back in those days would be like billionaires, And they all lived in Methuen, and they kind of like competed against each other with buildings, and walls and what have you. And if you drive around Methuen, there's so many historical spots
you got to see the Methuen castle sometime. It's really quite
the
incredible.
One you lived in primarily.
Yes,
I think I've looked at the pictures of that too.
That's it's now Presentation Mary Academy. It's a a school, and there are a couple of modern buildings on the property, and but the castle itself is still there. I understand that some of the nuns live in it. So, but yeah, he's kind of a unique guy. We should move along.
Yeah, you have only a few minutes left.
This would have been his dressing room. This is what we use for the brides, by the way. This is the bride's dressing room. Okay. Most of the time, most of this area is used for, like, just photos, you know, like the prenuptial photos, the bride looking out the window, that kind of thing, or standing with her bridesmaids or with her mother, you know, that kind of thing, before the wedding. And then this is where, this is actually, this would have been Cyril's dressing room. And this is, the bride uses this where she'll get dressed. Kind of interesting, the bathroom. This would have been an ultra-modern tub back in those days. Larger than usual, no feet, and the plumbing is underneath how it's picked up on the floor there. So, oh, there's a servant's call system throughout the building, too. I just never mentioned that. Every room we've been in so far has a doorbell like this. Okay, I don't want to ring it because the guys downstairs will hear it, and then they'll think I need them. But, and then there's a box I'll show you downstairs that's got arrows for every room. And when you ring it, it's spring loaded, so that if you ring it, an electrical charge hits that thing, and the arrow will pop up. Okay.
So a little Downton Abbey.
Yeah. Well, so if Searles were in here taking a bath and he needed something, he would ring that bell. And if you and I were downstairs, I'd say, Sean, Searles needs you in the bathroom. Could you wash my back? And this is where we'd have his morning tea. A picture of Edward Searles over there. And this is Mary Hopkins, who funded the whole thing.
And how did they come together?
He went out to decorate the castle that they, or the home that they had out in San Francisco, Nob Hill, remember? He owned the Southern Pacific Railroad, died, Mark. And that's still out there, by the way. Yeah, the Hopkins Hotel, I think.
And what did she have any? I mean, is much known about her impressions of his castle building, or did she enjoy
it? I never hear anything about her. Yeah. Well, she must, you know. Again, think of the age difference.
Yeah, she was much older, right?
And she just loved being with him and his creativity, I guess. You know, because I think it was a platonic relationship. I would say, even if not for his alternative lifestyle, just the age difference. Yeah. I mean, at 70, you know. I'm 66, and ages. Too much information.
I won't put that in the
Too
story.
Much information.
No, that's fine. That's what I was looking for.
This room really, for brides, I'm sorry, I'm a bride guy, okay? But during the time of day that most weddings take place, the sun is lower, and it comes through these windows, and photographers will take pictures of the bride, like, looking at her flowers, and the sun will be on the flowers, but you'll just get the silhouette of the face and everything. The creative shots they get out here is really amazing. Okay, if we go through here, this is dangerous, actually, for youngsters. There were no building codes back in those days, and these railings are just way too low, you know. And we don't let anybody except the wedding party up here because of these railings, especially after people have had a few drinks, you know.
Oh,
hey,
yeah,
Sean, how you?
Well, it's right at that place.
Yeah,
where you're
yeah.
Balance.
I mean, I'm not tall. I'm 5'11". You know, you're 6 feet or so.
No, I'm same as you.
Yeah, but you know, it would be one of those things where, you know, somebody that was like 6'5" or something. I mean, now you're at knee height, right. You know. Yeah. So. A little dangerous. This used to be, you used to be able to walk out, well, you could still walk out to this area and kind of look over the property and what have you. It's got a rubber roof on it now, and it's, you know, if you walk on it, there's a possibility of puncturing it and what have you, so we just don't go out there any longer.
Is this
something I was always wondering about in my design, if I would actually make that functional, and I think I ended up deciding against it.
Yeah.
I've got plenty of terraces.
Well,
I don't need,
you know,
one other little tiny terrace.
And it just looks out to the courtyard.
Yeah.
You know, it's it's not like it's got some special view or something. I don't know why they would have done this, but
what is this?
Just that's
this
just access
position.
To there.
Okay.
Yeah,
I didn't know
just
it had
access
some
to get out there.
Name, like.
Yeah? No? No? It's pieces like this is kind of give you an indicator of how wide the walls are.
Yeah.
You know? The other thing is, when you walk through here, this is an indication of, you know, the walls are the the support, you know. So, like, this is even just going from room to room. There's a wall behind you that, and that's how wide it is.
You go in the basement, it's crazy the size. This was a bedroom. We let the groomsmen use this to get dressed. I have no idea what the Oriental motif is. I know that's been changed over the years. It has nothing to do. I think it's really, this reflective plate is really kind of interesting. I had an art student from, my daughter that passed away went to Montserrat down in Beverly for a Bachelor of Fine Arts. She was an alternative person, God rest her soul. She was one of those shave half your head kind of people, you know, but she was an artist, you know, worked with clay and oils and what have you. But anyway, I had a professor that was the mother of the bride. We were showing her around, and, you know, just given the history as I've given to you, and she looked at that reflector plate and she says, oh my God, she says, that is so, it just emotes that alternative lifestyle. There's a lot of symbolism in there, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I had never, ever thought of that. And then when she said that, it's just things that the guy's holding, the gluteus maximus and all those kinds of things, you know, just kind of lends it.
Now, when the fire is going, does that show up a little bit
We've
more?
Never burned it. The only fireplace that's safe to burn is the Napoleon fireplace. That's been re-sleeved or whatever they call it, re-flued or something. Interestingly, though, this was all quarter sawn oak and it was painted. We just did these walls over, by the way. We did these just recently. But the burning fireplace really shows up in the Stanton Harcourt shields. You know,
that's a shame they were painted over.
Yeah, it was done before we were here. So we actually painted those again, but they were painted before we painted them. And to try to strip something like that, forget about it, you know. But this is a pretty room, though. And it has its own. This has its own bathroom as well. It's just, it's got the old, that's the original, of course, all the toilets had those. Original crappers.
The old high that's guy.
They were called crappers.
Crappers, you know, right.
Yeah. John Crapper.
John. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's a new toilet.
The radiator.
That was that there?
Yeah, he had those. Yeah.
This was actually, now we're going to go to servants' quarters. He would bring, if he came, when he did come up here, he'd bring servants with him from Methuen Castle to cook and clean and what have you. But this would be where the servants would stay. Now, it is tiny. But realistically, they'd be here for a night or two, and they'd bring an overnight bag, and they need a cot.
Really. That's sort of embarrassing, though, how small that is compared to how much space.
That's because you're from this generation, you know? Think
back
to them.
Days, like,
you know the people that had this job? They were considered, like, wow.
So this is lucky.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? You think they were separating the haves and have-nots in their society? Oh, it was much worse back then. Much worse. I mean, it's horrible today, but I'm one of the haves.
Yeah.
But this is another one.
Okay. This would be maybe...
So this would probably be the next guy up.
Senior, a little senior.
Because
got a couple more feet.
A little bit more. Watch the next one, though.
Right.
But see, a lot of times, there'd be couples, you know what I mean, the chef and the... Yeah. Most important waitress or maid or whatever would be a couple, and so this was actually a servant's room, and this was meant for a couple.
When I came in here, I was looking for.
Nobody ever comes in here anymore. I had. Where the heck did they put the books?
So the history of the place.
Yeah. I've got to have some place. The sisters run this. Here they are, right here. Yeah. There you go. Yeah, watch. You guys each take one of these.
Oh, that'd be sweet. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. There's a lady who was a volunteer here for many, many years, wrote this. And she did a great job with it. Yeah, it gives you a nice history of the whole place and what have you.
Thank you,
dear. Let me close the store.
Oh, yeah, it's a little chilly.
Yeah, well, if I could save a few bucks on
that. Oh, yeah.
Now, this was This is that section that was added from Lance, you thinking about where the carriage room used to be. This guy was here. This is actually Edward Searle's grandson. That's my son-in-law.
The rightful heir.
The rightful heir. But this was all added by the sisters, and that was like a classroom. They actually ran the Castle College out of here. You know, they had like 80 students or something, you know. But it was a secretarial school kind of a thing. And back in the day when, I mean, you actually went to school to learn how to shorthand and things like that. But they used this for that. And where he is now, that's actually where he is now is part of the old building.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's all been sheetrocked and everything, you know, so it's not really even worth looking at. In fact, the rest of that building is not even finished. Oh. And Searle's never finished the upper floors.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He only finished the downstairs. But, I don't think he used it that much, obviously. Just an afterthought, I think. But then anyway, but this was all added. You can kind of see the,
Yeah. Yeah, it's starting to feel like we're not in a castle anymore.
Yeah, you're not. But it's my office, so so leave it alone. Yeah.
This also now, this is a servant's bathroom.
Not quite as ornate as the others. Yeah, but again, it's the old... And the tub's not as big. Now these are going to bring you down to the original kitchen. Just as you come down here, remember people were not as tall.
Here the bill is? What is that for?
Oh, that's the sisters put that in. It was it was time for Vespers or time to have lunch or something like that. They'd ring that bell.
So
the rope would
the
come
hour.
Down here. Yep. Yeah. If you pull on that, you'll see how long it is. You'd hear it. No excuses. I have red tape here. It's been there for 13 years. And the scars on the top of my head, be careful.
Does it remind you? I mean, do you keep it in your head there?
Well, you know what? Every time I come down these stairs, I go like this.
You need to get some more tape to remind you about the tape.
This is the box I was telling you about.
Oh, I love that.
See, but it's a manual reset. So you have to go like this to reset them. And I worked here when I first opened. We worked here a lot, okay. And there's Johnny, our property manager. John's the one who keeps the place looking as nice as it does.
Hey there, Johnny.
It's a labor of love.
Yeah, Johnny and I were like best friends before we worked here.
And then what happened?
I hate him. Now I hate him. Johnny got married here.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
I did the ceremony. JP.
Yeah, you're JP.
I'm a JP, too.
I believe it's almost been a year. Yeah.
He didn't even pay me. Not a penny.
That's not very considerate.
It's almost been a year.
Has it been that long?
Can you believe it?
God bless you.
Unbelievable.
You've been married a year?
Yeah,
well,
almost.
He was married for a long time before.
He was married 30 before that.
His first wife just went off the deep end, I would say.
Yeah. Kept going.
Is there a way we can hear that? Like, is there a button nearby, or are they all far away?
Yeah, I'll ring it.
Yeah.
You can ring my bell?
I can ring your bell.
I'll see. He's going to go down, and it's going to be the back door or whatever. There's one that says something like that. The problem I would have back in the day was that people would reset. There you go. See.
Thank you, John. How's that?
And so what does it say?
Back door. Rear door. Okay? That's the entrance, service entrance. Okay? So you need to reset it, okay, by pushing this up. Now, imagine that I... John just did that, and now I'm upstairs in the office, and I hear the bell, so I come downstairs to see, and it says front door and rear door. They're both sticking up. You know how ticked off you get at that point? You know, because now I don't know whether to go to the front door or the back door. It's a guess, because whoever went to answer the rear door, you're supposed to, as soon as you read it, you reset it, okay? Oh, I can be so angry.
But you know what's nice when somebody's at the front door and they ring the bell and you're at the other side of the building and then they ring the bell again and then again. Like you're sitting at right inside the door waiting for somebody to ring the bell. Excuse me.
Anyway, so that's that. This is the downstairs from where my office is. This is the room that used to be like a carriage room. Okay, and you can see there's an outside wall there at the end. So... The sisters made a classroom out of this, and we use this during the winter months, you know, if somebody wants to have a dinner for like 50 people or so. We do the dinner portion here, and then do cocktails and hors d'oeuvres, and then dessert and coffee, et cetera, and dancing, you know, because we do dancing in the area where the Napoleon fireplace is.
Nice.
Small parties, you know, small parties. It works out nicely.
Do you ever have people want to do film here?
A couple of times, yeah, a couple of times. For some reason, Sister Josette's against it.
Hmm.
Yeah, she's a... I don't want to do anything that upset the sisters, you know, so... And, to be honest with you, it's usually, you know, they want to do it for nothing kind of thing. You know, can we just use it?
Yeah.
And so, you know, and it's just... You know, they talk about moving stuff around, and, you know, they're going to have the place, you know, nobody can come in for 3 or 3 days. Well, I've got to do showings and, you know, sales meetings and things, you know, so... It's just not worth it.
I see.
Yeah. This is the original kitchen. This is Sean. Sean's our assistant manager.
Hey, Sean.
Nice to meet you guys. Apologize for the mess. We're in kind of a state of flux of setting up and breaking down, so I apologize.
I already explained it, and they seem like they understand.
I'm pretty outraged. But that'll show in the story, not here.
It's like getting fired.
Yeah.
No, couldn't do that.
Couldn't function without you. Oh, God, he's going to want a raise now. he got married, and they have a baby, and as a raise, I pay for all his health insurance. So, that was a raise. But anyway, this floor is everything's been redone, okay, except for the floor and the wall tile. And I had a guy that owns a tile company come in and tell me that this bullnose, they call it bullnose tile, is like, you can't just get this anymore. You know what I mean? He was like, he stood here calling his friends in. Look at this, Philly. They got bullnose tile. You know, but it looks, it's amazing that this is original. Okay, but if you look at it, you say, oh my God, the cracks.
Yeah.
The age cracks are, you know, it's original. And this is an asphalt tile, and this is original as well. And it's all little pieces, all puzzle pieces that they put together, you know. And considering the castle was abandoned for a 10-year period with broken windows, weather coming in and out, low spots, puddles that froze, and what have you, considering that, and when they shine this up, believe me, it comes right back. It looks like a hospital floor, you know what I mean? Considering, you know, you see the cracks, but other than that, you know, I mean, this floor's over 100 years old, you know. Pretty amazing. All this other stuff is new. Except for the microwave oven.
You mean the laminated counter?
The microwave is here.
Yeah. Edward Searle's original microwave?
Yeah. This would be, now going back, as you see, we've come to a full circle.
Oh, wow. Wow, that threw my brain around. I felt like we were going that way.
Yeah. Funny, huh?
That's like it felt like it came.
That's see, now you realize that, but Sean didn't know. We came in here and he said, how'd we get here?
Didn't make
we
sense.
Just walked around in a big circle.
I felt like we were kept going that way.
Right?
Going,
yeah.
But then we came back
just
through
here. Just walked in a big circle.
You got it.
Papa. You even say that. So that's it.
All right.
And as I said, you're welcome to, Sean, walk around,
walk
take
around.
Pictures.
Take a few.
And have,
can I take
yeah,
a picture
sure.
of you two guys? I don't know if there's a outside spot we could go. I don't
know
where your car is.
Let's get a couple inside.
Yep.
Tanya.
What's your time frame here? You got to be gone in a few minutes?
Probably another 5 minutes or so.
Okay.
Be fine. This is, I made a promise.
No.
Taking one to lunch.
Yeah, well, that's important.
Yeah, I don't know how many lunch dates I can have. So. Got to do what I can while I can.
Do you think you'll get a chance to come and take a look at Lance's castle?
Oh, yeah. We're going up tomorrow. We were supposed to go up today, and then I forgot I made this lunch date with my granddaughter, so I said to my wife, we'll just go up tomorrow. But I have to go up because I have to get my ski equipment. I'm going to bring it just in case.
Now, we might have to wait till it gets warmer. Depends on you know, if you want to put snowshoes on and go.
We'll probably wait till the spring. I hope that I'm still ambulatory at that point.
Ready to start plowing. Yeah, the road's 1,100 feet, and
so you're not working up there during the winter.
Well, I'm doing soft work, and that means I'm not lifting rocks. I'm doing design work on the computer. So that's the stuff that I do during the winter to support the castle project. Building the,
so you're
building
actually
the
lifting the stone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Doing the storm basically. I did that. Well, the only break I really had was this last year when I bought the excavator to do the road. So I'm sitting in the excavator and I'm running the levers and doing that for the past year and a half, so I haven't really done much stonework up there, but I'm really looking forward to getting back. It's my
Did anybody help you do that?
No. That's why. This is why it's progressing so slowly, a one-man construction team building a castle.
The first,
it was going
the first
painfully
wedding he's
slow
going to,
when I lived in Massachusetts.
The first wedding he's going to have is for her.
Exactly.
No, that's probably true.
If for nothing else, that terrace is built for these girls for their weddings.
So, what did you want to do? Do you want
Just some pictures of different places.
Okay.
I know, like the. Well, where's a nice spot where people, the grandest photos that sort of reveal what's going on here?
Yeah, well, usually it's during the better weather, so, But, we could close the doors and just take a picture of the entranceway.
Sure, that'd be nice.
Let's get a picture in front of the fireplace here.
Yeah.
We could have some little princesses in
the picture.
Yeah, the princesses
in the picture.
Yeah.
Lucette,
Camille,
say cheese.
Camille,
papa.
There you go.
Two
look
princesses.
At
a ver, say cheese. Mira la cámara.
Cheese. Oh, that's pretty. I bet that ugly guy's in the middle.
Cheese.
That's not cheese. That's
Work?
They all would do, yeah. So when will you be next? Or are you guys moving into this house, or we've moved in?
Yeah.
So you spent some time up there already?
Oh yeah. Well, we've only actually stayed there twice, but
you're gonna stay there 5 times.
I know. Yeah. But
Searles that one.
No. But Monday we have a bunch of new furniture being delivered, so I have to be up there for Monday. Hmm. But I'm going to Utah next week, and then the last week in February we have an annual thing we do with our kids. We take them to Mexico. We've done it for like 10 years now, and that's the last week in February. So, it's funny is that it seems like the time's going by so fast. The winter, by the time we come back from Mexico, it's going to be second week in March. Yeah, so at that point. Yeah. So I don't think we'll use it as much as we thought we were going to use it right away. But we like being up there in the spring, and the summer, and the fall too. And that's just really nice. It's a nice break. We used to do a lot more hiking than we're probably doing now. But stuff like that. I went up last winter. My favorite. I did the Lincoln Woods Trail, which is kind of boring, but it's flat, pretty flat. It's uphill all the way to the falls. But anyway. So I went in the spring and I put the yak tracks. I put yak tracks on my shoes and I took two ski poles, and just by myself, and I'm going along, and there was some kids from one of the Holderness with a teacher, and they were doing some biological stuff for the spring stuff, but they were like about a half mile up the trail, and I looked back and they had turned around and gone back, so for the whole rest of the way, all the way up to Franconia Falls, I'm by myself, and it's, like, I want to say it's early April, but so I'm walking on snow, icy snow, but by myself and just enjoying myself, and I get to the end, and I sat on that little bench there at the, looked to watch the water for a little bit, I'll head back, and as I headed back, I looked over on the side, and there's a big set of bear tracks. Heading off to the side, and I realized I'm 3.5 miles in the fucking forest right now. It's like all by myself, so the whole day, the next I'm walking back, and as I'm walking, I'm like, and I watched that stupid show on TV, Alaska, The Last Frontier, National Geographic,
And that all they ever talk about is when they leave their homestead that they're these big brown bears, you know, and how dangerous they are, whatever. And I, the whole way back, I swear to God, I had to change my pants by the time I got back to the car. You know, oh, I didn't see any. I didn't see any, and I made it out alive.
You did. Yeah, you see, do it. Seem to have made. Well,
obviously.
It.
Yeah. Right, how about if we take a picture up at the door?
You still seem a little afraid.
I'm going to be honest with you. Next time I go, I'm going to bring one of those air horns. You know, because you know they say just as long as you're louder than they are.
Have you ever seen them in the wild or anything?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I've seen them in Waterville Estates.
Oh yeah. I saw one at the new house.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, down on the.
They're your new neighbors.
Yep.
You know Mike Mahoney there. I guess his house is like right up by yours.
I haven't met anybody yet. So.
Mike's the president of Waterville Estates.
Oh.
He took a picture last year, the biggest bear I have ever seen, and it was right by your house.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why my deck has no outside access. It's, you know, it's like, say, 10 to 12 feet up, and the only way you can get to it is through the house. And my wife says, well, maybe we should build some stairs. I said, are you out of your mind? I said, I don't know. You build stairs, you're going to have a bear looking in the window.
No, they will come up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They will end up.
Yeah, Rue and Sally at their place.
Right on a porch. And I'm usually pretty good about garbage, not putting anything in that garbage can that we have outside, any food.
Sure.
And I screwed up one time, put an old pizza box in there, and that attracted the bear. I just had Lucette in the crib. I heard this big crash, and I thought that Lucette had fallen out of the crib. So I went running upstairs, and then Tiny screamed, "Oh, there's a bear at the door!" And "Where's my camera? Where's my camera?" I went out, flying out the door, chasing after him. He stood up, bigger than me, and he put his paws on me.
All right.
How about if we go? You want to go outside?
Yeah, maybe not. A couple outside ones.
Sure.
Okay, let me find this.
You know what? It's probably better if we just leave these open.
Yeah, yeah.
That way the doors will show up better.
Yeah.
That this video camera has is it also takes a bunch of pictures
while
it's filming.
Right, so you can use it like that. I want to get the whole castle in. I can't get any of it. Oh, they kind of come in. Hey, I'm good.
Okay. All right, Sean.
Nice to meet you.
It was nice meeting you.
Okay,
hope you enjoyed your tour. We'll see you at Keene Castle.
Yes. May.
We should change the name of this place.
Dave's Castle.
Dave's Castle.
Oh, Keene Castle.
Oh! Yeah. Keene's Castle 1 versus Keene's
Castle
2. The problem
with doing this in New Hampshire is everybody thinks that Keene Castle is in Keene, New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's not. It's in Thornton.
That, well, when you hear Keene, you think of Keene College. You know, Castle. Mm-hmm. Not college, really. Okay, I gotta beat my feet.
All
right,
so it's okay if I walk around and take a couple more pictures?
Yeah,
it won't be much.
No, no.
And then I gotta do some. I love the outside.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey guys.
Bye. What was something like that? That big, that rocket ship turret. Like,
oh, that's it's a bell tower.
Okay.
It's actually still set up on the upper floors, and there's a stairway that goes up there. If you wanted to, you could walk in there. Just be careful because there's no.
Okay.
The banisters are very open. Let's put it that way.
Why would they have had a bell tower?
Just, I don't know. The ring a bell. He had a bell system up there.
Yeah.
It was on pendulums. You know, on real thick ropes with real heavy weights on it, and it would there's a system up there like a
almost like a xylophone, I guess I would say. You know, when it would, the hammers would bung, 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 or whatever. Yeah. I don't know what it played, okay? Because before we got here, the vandals had gone in, all right, and they had cut the ropes, and those giant weights had fallen down and cracked the floor at the bottom and everything else. And so they decided it was just too dangerous, and they just got rid of it. But it's the system is still up there. Yeah. We thought about, you know, electrifying it. And but you know what? You know what we could do?
How about a stereo?
Just put a loud system. Exactly. Put a stereo up there.
Just an iPhone with a little
thing. There you
go.
That's all you need.
Costs $100.
You know? And they'll think, oh, that's so amazing. Listen to that.
What a cheat you would be.
I know. But what the hell?
Can you go up on top? I mean, can you walk around up there and gaze with your telescope at the sea?
You could get out there, but it's you'd need a ladder to get through a hole in the floor kind of a thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. No more questions.
Okay.
I'll stop.
Hey, y'all.
All right. So I'm going to go through a little bit and take some more pictures.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
okay. Thanks. I'll talk to you later, okay?
All right. Thanks so much, David.
Up north.
Thanks again. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.